It's Marketplace Tech Report from APM, American Public Media. I'm John Moe. If you've been to the blog or Facebook page of someone who died, it can be unsettling. The page often looks the same as it did when the person was alive, but they're gone. In real life, we have customs for dealing with death, rituals. On the internet, we're still figuring it out, as is the case in England this weekend. The University of Bath hosts a conference on death and dying in the digital age. Tony Walter directs the Center for Death and Society at the university. He says the web has changed how we grieve.
If you're talking to the dead at a grave, you may feel a special connection there, but the very fact that you're at a grave in a cemetery makes it pretty blatantly obvious the person is dead, even though you feel you've still got a connection with them, like many people do. But when you're tapping away on your computer and you're addressing the dead, the physical activity and the physical environment is exactly the same as when they were alive. So there's a number of postings to the dead on Facebook where there's a sense that the person is still listening. And people post things like, say, "Hey, Matt, I don't know if you're hearing, but this is what I want to say," or "I hope you're enjoying life up in heaven now," or whatever. But there's a sense that they're actually hearing.
One of the issues that comes along with death is what happens to the estate, the things left behind. John Troyer is also with the University of Bath Center for Death and Society.
Just as a person's remains are handled and given dignity and a proper send-off, there's more and more attention turning towards what exactly is the dignified, appropriate, proper handling of this individual's digital self.
And what's fascinating at the moment is that some of it just disappears. Like, I gather if Flickr hears that you have deceased, your pictures on Flickr just disappear. But other aspects of your digital self, which you may have put on the web and somebody may have copied and sent off to somebody else, is actually immortal.
The convergence of the physical and digital selves is something John Troyer will discuss this weekend.
New and modern crematoria, the actual cremation furnaces, are oftentimes digitally run, many of them. It's a touchscreen interactive device. And, you know, it's a system in where the deceased is put into the cremation furnace for cremation and it's taken care of that way. But there's nothing saying that you couldn't actually pull up the person's digital, if you will, records on that touchscreen. And there's a simultaneous kind of process that takes place in which those digital files are as well reduced to remains. And that's one idea of how you begin to see how these things are actually beginning to kind of merge and dovetail together.
More with John and Tony, including the evolving rules of how to mourn on Facebook at marketplacetech.org. For a fun video game, you don't always need an Xbox or a famous title or a high price tag. Ben Cuchera from Ars Technica tells us about a game that's fun, weird, and cheap.
Jamestown is a $10 PC-only 2D shoot-em-up. You're tasked with fighting hordes of betentacled Martians who have sworn loyalty to the Spanish.
You said betentacled?
That is right. These are betentacled Martians.
And Sir Walter Raleigh is involved.
There are so many characters. This is kind of an alternate American history set on Mars. It's set in 1617. It deals with what actually would happen to a Martian colony called Roanoke.
So it has educational value, is what you're
saying.
It
does. This teaches you, just in case we find out that the Martians, you know, led by a crazy conquistador, destroyed the colony, this is what it would look like and how you would be able to save them.
You can find out more about Jamestown at marketplacetech.org. While you're there, sign up for our daily email newsletter. Everything you need to know about tech placed in your inbox. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.